Hello?
Hello.
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You're making popcorn?
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Well, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
Someone is playing a deadly game.
It all began with a scream over 911.
Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a scary movie. Number one, you can never have sex.
Hey, it's me.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
Get another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
He didn't make the rules.
The police are always off track. If they watch Palm Night, they'd save time.
He just kills by them. Don't answer the phone. Don't open the door. Don't try to hide.
Everybody's a suspect!
You're not scared, are you?
Scream.
Hey everybody, welcome to the I'll See You in Hell podcast. As always, my name is Ollie and I'm joined by my good friend Nathan. Say hello, Nathan.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We're done. This week we are covering the 1996 classic Scream. This movie is directed by Wes Craven. It stars Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Skeet Ulrich, Drew Barrymore, Matthew Lillard, Jamie Kennedy, and Henry Winkler. The synopsis of this film is simply put, a year after the murder of her mother, a teenage girl is terrorized by a new killer who targets the girl and her friends by using horror films as part of a deadly game. Mm-hmm.
So first thing I noticed, I'm looking at the line of actors, right? So
yeah,
out of all those actors,
mm-hmm.
Okay, Henry Winkler, I've seen him on bits and pieces. He's obviously he was on like
Happy Days,
Arrested Development. Wait, no, I'm talking about after this.
Oh yeah.
You know, so he was still sort of a kind of working actor, and Drew Barrymore was in, of course, you know, a couple of Adam Sandler movies and shit like that. But was anyone else
the Charlie's Angels movies?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, but David Arquette just kept doing these movies. He did a bunch of these, and then Courtney Cox never really. I mean, this was. Yeah.
Neve Campbell, nothing since.
Nothing really.
Matthew Lillard, I feel like he did a couple of things, but then he hasn't done anything since, I'm pretty sure.
No.
Jamie Kennedy all kind of fizzled. Jamie Kennedy, I very sadly saw him on, was it a Scream like thing? They were interviewing him and I watched it a couple weeks ago, and he looked like he looked like the 45-year-old dude trying to look like a 22-year-old yes. dude with the hat and
clinging on to it.
It was great.
Yeah. So don't bury the lead, man. What did you think? I felt like, and first of all, by the way, we're recording this much later than intended. This was intended to be a Halloween episode. And here we are, almost a Thanksgiving.
Scary. We're doing it anyway. Save for next year.
Yeah. So what did you think of it, man?
Well, see, I'm sort of, all right. Well, I'm of two minds on this movie, maybe three minds. So I wrote my thesis. It had to do with horror movies and, and this was one of the ones I used, one of three that I used to do this psychophysiology study about movies and what's basically scarier than what. And I picked this one because I thought the first 10 minutes of it were some of the awesomest horror movie scenes ever.
Yeah.
The best 10 minutes of any horror movie you could ever watch, I think.
Right.
And I've seen a few. And for this type of horror movie, right? It's not obviously it's a certain type of horror movie, but But yeah, and I remember it's always been a great movie to me. I always loved the twists and stuff of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people I always love the, it's not fourth wall breaking necessarily, but it's like they're acknowledging they're in a horror. They're talking about things like, oh, don't say this because you won't come back.
They're talking about tropes.
Right, that come true.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it was one of the first movies that I recalled doing that, if not mm-hmm. the first movie. Anyways, I'll stop there and let you tell me what you thought about what you liked.
First of all, I think this is a superb film. I am not a horror movie fan, but I think this movie basically gave me an appreciation for the genre, which I didn't have before seeing it. 1996, this was right when I was literally working at a video store. This was like my peak movie loving era. Yeah. And I remember hearing about this movie secondhand, like, oh, you got to see Scream. It's really great. It's really clever. And going to sit and see it in a theater was really quite a big thing for me to do because I am not a horror film. And what I horror film fan, and what I would say that this movie does extremely well is dread. The sense of dread is absolutely critical to a successful horror film, in my opinion. You have to feel like, you know, what's about to happen. You have to have like a, not only a fear of what's about to happen, but like a hope that it's not going to happen. And then it does happen.
Which this thing, so that leads into perfectly segue into what this movie does do, which I generally don't like. I feel mm-hmm. it's sort of cheap, mm-hmm. which is the jump scare with the loud noise all of a sudden. And then the guy jumps in a frame and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
I generally don't love that because I think it's a cheap way to, I mean, I can do that. I could hide behind that pillar behind Boo. You and jump out and you'd fucking, you'd shit your pants. Right. Yes, exactly. So, but it's not because you're afraid of me. It's because I startled the shit out of you and your mm-hmm. fight or flight went off. So this movie does that a lot. Now I generally hate that, but this movie is all about doing the exact tropes of every horror movie. And that's a trope of a horror movie is the fucking jump scares. So right. they have them in there. And, but they also have the psychological shit in there too, which was part of my thesis. The whole idea of mm-hmm. the combo, making it a great movie, having a right. combo of both those, not just one or the other. This was one of those movies that sort of first for me started doing that. And it was, that was what was great. Yeah, it was great.
Well, 1996 too, I was 1 year out of high school. I graduated in 1995. So I was a similar age to the characters portrayed in this film. So it meant even more to me. And like, you know, that sort of realism was really shocking.
Although I don't know if you have this lip pulled up, but I wonder what their actual ages of the actors were playing these high school students. And I feel like we've done that before. You know, it's always like 27.
Yeah.
Playing like a 17-year-old or whatever.
Right.
So that's what I was thinking when I was watching this. I was like, all right, these fully developed women playing these, you know, fully developed women playing these 17-year-olds. And I'm like, okay.
These tweens.
Should I feel gross watching this movie?
Well, you know, Wes Craven
did it too, which is awesome because he's awesome.
Yeah, Wes Craven, who was very well known for horror films throughout the 80s, but had kind of moved away from it or had just decided that the genre it was no longer marketable. And he basically relaunched it, I think. Now, I would say you know this better than me, but I think horror films have also subsequently transitioned to what some have called torture porn. Which is the Saws and the Hostels, and you know they're not really scary as much as they're just genuinely horrific, just graphic there wasn't and disgusting.
I mean, as far as I can remember in American horror, anyways, you know, there's always been slasher films, but you know, the slasher dude usually doesn't hold you in a room for a day and dissect you and shit like that. He just sort of stabs you a bunch of times and throws you off and goes to the next person. And around this time they came out. Hostel was the one everyone talked about. There's a few other ones that came out sort of copycat them, but that was the start of the torture porn stuff. I think it still goes on today, especially with all the Saw movies. Now Saw One, if you haven't seen that, Ollie, I don't know, we should watch that because it's pretty badass. I'm gonna get this wrong. I feel like I don't see it as much. I feel like the stuff, the tropes nowadays are like, they do a lot of the live footage. Like, it's a camera in the room, seeing ghosts, I feel like, have come back a little bit.
Yeah, people
that are possessed, like on the Hereditaries and whatever it's called. But I haven't watched any of those movies, so I can't really talk intelligently about them. Yeah. But this was definitely right on that cusp of getting into torture porn.
But it wasn't torture porn. This was still the old school slasher classic. And here, speaking of classic, you talked about the first 10 minutes of this film. Yeah. What's really interesting about this, the most iconic horror film of all time, in my opinion, and probably the opinion of many, is Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And what he got credit for was he killed off the main character in the first 25 minutes of the film.
Right.
And in this movie, Drew Barrymore.
They have a life of him in here too.
Yeah. I'm sure they have a few or a few homages to
the,
it. But
yeah, the kid says one.
Yeah. The thing is Drew Barrymore was probably the most marketable star on this list. You know, she was a superstar at the time. She had was a child actress. She, you know, had done lots of, as you say, Adam Sandler movies and been quite popular. And she dies in like what, the first 8 minutes of this film? Gruesomely.
And it's great. It's a fucking amazing scene. It's a fucking great scene. It's great. And it's so fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine Well, first of all, the whole fucking house is just a glass house.
Yeah.
So you can see it no matter what. Oh, man, it would suck so bad, man. I'd feel, that'd be bad. That's when you'd want it. That's when you want your gat, Ollie. You have
to get your gat, and then the whole thing about like making popcorn and sitting down to watch a movie, and she's going to have her boyfriend over, and you know what's going to come after that. And it's like this whole like, comfortable kind of like teenage life thing.
Yeah.
And it's pitch black outside, and you can't, another thing about that house I think was well selected is you can't see any other houses. It's completely isolated, which
my wife always talks about, like, because I always talk about moving out towards the country, just like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be in a place where there's no one around. It makes me feel like I'm, you know, in a scary movie. I'm like, well, that's I guess you're kind of right. I mean that would be kind of fucked up, but the killing the first person, killing the most important person. I saw another interview with her where she talked about that. Like they used basically used her to bring people to the movie.
Yeah.
Back her off in the first thing, which is great. Sort of reminds me of like Executive Decision where they
took out Seagal.
Steven Seagal. And I was like stunned. I was like, well, who's gonna kill the bad guy?
Yeah.
What's happening? I mean, how are we gonna win?
Right.
So anyways, it's cool.
At least who's gonna squint at the bad guy?
Right, attack them one by one.
It was excellent and a great start to the film, and then it really gave you that sense of dread at the beginning. And then I love also what this movie does is that it transitions from darkness to bright sunshine, and it manages to keep the sunshine scenes also scary. You know, there's the bit in the bathroom and the bit in the school, and even just like walking around town and you see shapes behind bushes and you don't know what's happening.
Let's talk about how that plays into the twist too, which the twist is like there's two dudes at the end that are actually doing this. Because, you know, I remember when I watched this the first time going, how the fuck did they get her up there so fast? Did he get her up there that fast as a human? Because you knew he was a human at that point because he got kicked in the balls. And he felt it. So you knew he wasn't supernatural. But then like she's basically eviscerated and hung up from a tree in like 2 minutes. And you're like, how did one dude do that? Well, it was two dudes. And the whole movie, you're seeing things like the ghost face will run one way and then another one will run the other. You're like, what the fuck?
One will appear.
Be on the phone and then the other guy will show up with, you know.
Well, the other part about that that's brilliant, now I think about it, and I can't believe I didn't think about it till now, but the fact that it was two of them and they would constantly show up at different moments kept you guessing as to who the killer was. Because like, oh,
it's yeah, you're like, guy. It can't be that guy.
Yeah, because he just showed up. Yeah.
I didn't see it coming at the end.
No, neither did I.
Thinking like, holy shit, that's fucking, and then I remember thinking back and going, that's how they were doing all that stuff so fast. Like, but you're totally watching it. If you're not suspending disbelief, you're kind of going, oh, come on. Like, how's he getting there up that fast? Like, this, whatever.
Oddly about it, after rewatching it recently, the scene at the end when they're confessing and they're basically telling him, like, you know, we're both just fucked up by media and, you know, we're psychopaths. And I have to say, like, it's not that it was a letdown, but it was like they stopped being scary and they just started being stupid. You know, like they weren't as scary after that. Once they were revealed, it was like, oh, oh, it's just these douchebags. You know, it was like, I don't know why. Yeah. I just didn't find it as scary. And you kind of felt like, especially when they were stabbing each other, I was like, okay, this is going to go badly.
The stabbing, I actually didn't remember that they stabbed each other because I hadn't seen this in forever. And when they were doing it, all I was thinking was, not that they were trying to be edgy in the moment or whatever, but they just, it was like plot armor, meaning they had to do something to equalize it so that she could get away. Because in the situation she was in at that point with her dad, they're fucked. They weren't their corner. They weren't getting out of that. Those guys are strong guys. And, you know, and so they had to do something to weaken them so they could believably, which is fine, but I thought it was going a little, I thought it was a little silly. Like, I don't think they'd do that. Not that, not stabbing that bad. Maybe a couple nicks or something. That's like, Jesus.
And it added some comedy because there's like, man, you went too much, man.
Yeah. We'll talk about Matthew Lillard later. But
He was very good. They were all really good.
And yeah.
I mean, with the except, there were a couple of stars that you knew from other things, but they were all playing against type. Nobody
Jamie Kennedy was his character was awesome because he was he was the us.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that had it figured out. He knew all the tropes and you know, he knew what not to do. And so you sort of identify with him, and he lived to the, did he make it all the way to the end?
I think of the first movie. Yes.
Yeah. He made it. Yeah. He made it.
He gets killed off in one of the many, many stupid sequels.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've seen the first three maybe, but not forever, but yeah. But yeah, this is a, you know, overall, I was going back and watching it, it was good. There were, I will say, obviously, that, you know, my tastes in movie have, I guess, quote unquote, evolved. So you still are watching a 90s movie, high school movie, with all its sort of goofiness too, and it's sort of, you know, it's good acting by most of the people, but, you know, it's fine. But there were just some, you know, goofy things that they, you know, you won't see in 90s movies, but, you know, it won't ever compare to the first time I watched it, which blew my mind the first time I watched it. I couldn't believe it. It was the, and I like what you said, where Wes Craven basically reinvigorated like horror.
Yeah.
Just with this movie. Because remember all the shit that copycats came out after it? I know you did last summer and all those sort of movies that came after it. Yeah.
Yeah. He basically
a whole new bra stuff.
He saved the genre, I think. He really did. Yeah, he did. Because I think it had kind of died off. I mean, yes, there were these weird culty ones that were out there, but like this movie was so monumentally successful that it basically spawned every you know, studio to come out with their own version.
I mean, and, we had like Friday the 13th part 7 at this point. People were just getting tired of it.
I don't know. I mean, it's, again, it's I used to listen to Ebert and Roper a lot, and they would do reviews of horror films, and they would say, like, they would tell, look at the camera and say to the audience, like, look, audience, this is a horrific film. There's lots of gore and terrible, but it's extremely well done, and we review extremely well done. And as much as this is not a genre that I appreciate or enjoy, this is a very, very well done movie, a great story, and, you know, great twists.
I feel like we told this story before, maybe not, but I have seen one horror film with Ollie.
Yes,
we haven't heard this story before. Yeah,
we should.
I met Ollie up in Snoqualmie, where the hell we were at. We were
Issaquah
Highlands.
Yeah,
went up there and went to the nice theater up there and sat in the nice reclining seat
to watch It, the new version of It.
Watch It, the new It, not the two. It one. I haven't even seen It two, but watch the
and
first
we
one.
We had taken a couple of edibles.
Right. Yeah. And we sat in the middle, had good seats and everything, and watching it up and. I mean, I don't know what to get past like 10 minutes in. And Ollie was like, I don't know.
I covered my head.
Put his hood up and he's like hiding behind his hands going like, I don't know how much longer I could take this. And I don't remember how much longer he did make it. I feel like he made like 20 some minutes, 20, 30 minutes. And then he was like, I'm going to go. And did you go watch another movie?
I did. There was a stupid Tom Cruise movie across the hallway. Okay. I went and saw that.
Like Oblivion or something. Well, no, it was
before. It was like he was like a drug dealer or a drug smuggler. Look at this picture here. This is the crew with the Drew Barrymore like corpse.
Yeah.
Look smiles. Yeah. Like, hey man, look at this. Look what we did.
I think that was a obvious like dummy right there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Where the stunt lady just has a really strong neck.
I love all the little references to other horror films, like Freddy Krueger here was the janitor.
And I mean, Wes Craven did Nightmare on Elm Street. So,
it's a movie. One of the things I wrote down about what's great about this movie is it takes itself seriously and not seriously at the same time. Because I think it's a very well-crafted horror film, but it makes fun of itself. It makes fun of the genre. Yeah. And like we talked about, it dives into the tropes and it makes that part of the story. Like trying to survive this horrific scene involved understanding horror films. And therefore you had to know the rules and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that was all used in the commercial.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. Which is sort of like reminds me of Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that? Like they have
what was the first rule of Zombieland?
Cardio.
Because fatties go first.
Yeah, I was like, you know, hey man, he's got a point. You know, if you got to be running from shit, I wouldn't last that long. Zombies would be, they'd be at me. That would suck. Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty real looking dummy though there with her
hair. Yeah.
And the trees and all.
Oh, look at this scene too. Look at this guy.
Yeah, that guy is, now that I look at it, it's obviously his neck, it's a dummy, but when you see it on the screen, it looks really good.
Oh, it was terrifying and horrific. I mean, just graphic. I've got some stuff in trivia about like some of the struggles they had to get this movie rated, but you know, like this movie, like it's also like of the time that, you know, the late 90s, it was past the grunge era, it was still like the alternative rock era, and all of these actors were like the perfect depiction of that era, you know, like they were really a good representation of that period.
And the thing that Wes Craven always usually does too is I feel like he doesn't have a bunch of A-list actors in his movies, right? Like in general, they're a little lower on the totem pole. Probably allows him to make these movies, right?
Yeah.
Less budget and whatnot. But I'm looking at his IMDb right now to see like, or even what he directed. Yeah, I don't see anything that's like that had a giant budget and a bunch of like really famous people in it. So he's gotten by on doing cool movies with less famous people
So to some degree, maybe he, you know, it's interesting because I was listening to an interview with Tarantino the other day. Maybe Wes Craven could be considered the first independent filmmaker because
he might be. I mean, and he did like the really like The Hills Have Eyes, like super old like 70s shit too, so I definitely would probably have, a lot of these horror guys are like that. They never got a ton of money to do their shit, but they made it work. Like, lots of blood, lots of stabbing.
I think going to the movie theater is an experience. And like, as much like there are a couple of different types of movies that I think that are best in the theater. One is comedy, because comedy is best shared with like a big audience full of laughter. I think funny movies are great to see in the theater.
Yeah.
But I also think horror movies are that because it's an experience, like the entire audience screaming at the same time with surprise or shock or.
Okay. I have a question.
Please go for it.
This might be a philosophical one, but it also might be it has a data to it, but can you have a horror movie?
Mm-hmm.
Where the main horror villain wields a gun?
Good question. Let me think about that. Can you have a horror movie where the main horror villain wields a gun?
And has there ever been one?
Not that I can think of. No.
Right. They're just action movies, or they're like cops and robbers movies, or they're thrillers.
They're thrillers, yeah.
But to have a horror movie, you can't kill someone with a gun.
I think that's right.
It's too quick. Yeah.
It's too quick. I mean, the whole thing about the blades and the knives is that you can do it slowly.
But that's like an unwritten rule, because I've never seen that written down anywhere. Like, you can't with these ones. You can't. With the horror movie, you can't use a gun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the good guys always get guns at some point, or sometimes they do.
Right.
But the bad guy usually is resistant to that or dead already or whatever. But mm-hmm. yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, have I ever seen a horror movie with a gun that the bad guy uses a gun? No.
Yeah.
No.
So
that's too impersonal. Yeah.
I know you've studied horror films and you've actually written, you know, you've done actually like academic study about horror films. I'm going to ask you this question. Where yeah. does this rank on your list of horror films? Like, could you give me a top three?
Oh,
or
yeah,
top
yeah,
five
yeah,
horror
yeah,
films?
Yeah. This is definitely up there. And again, I like stuff that has like more like twists and stuff like that. So this mm-hmm. all automatically like shot up to the top. This is probably top. I mean, again, if I'm thinking of first time I saw this, this is top
yeah.
three. First time I saw it, top three. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, I watch horror movies again sometimes and I'm like, oh, that was really scary, but not that great anymore.
Sure.
This is top. The one that always freaked me out was American Werewolf in London, but I think that's just a carryover when I was a kid.
Right.
But, you know, I like Nightmare on Elm Street. The first one was awesome.
Yeah.
I just watched Terrifying. That the other day. It's just so funny. I like parts of it. I keep rewatching the first half of it, but I don't
the
watch
one,
the half of
the
it.
The one with Curry, like the original?
One we saw. No, the one we
oh,
saw.
Oh, the one we saw. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, the one that you saw.
Yeah, yeah. And when it first came out, I loved like Blair Witch Project. I loved the idea of the found footage stuff. It always freaked me out the most.
Yeah.
But the others, I like the one with twists in them and stuff like that. So yeah. Well, if you had to pick your favorite movie, scary movie.
Well, I can only think of two movies that I've enjoyed that are horror films.
Okay.
Alien.
Oh yeah. Okay, I wasn't thinking about that. Okay, yeah,
and this one, I can't. I mean, I think Silence of the Lambs is a horrific film, but I think of that as a thriller.
Yeah, I think as a thriller as well.
Yeah,
but okay, I'm with you with Alien.
I thought Get Out was fantastic. I know you make fun of me for liking that movie. So
no,
much,
I like the movie. Fine, I was, never,
but it's not
I
a horror film.
Scared? No, I didn't. No. I didn't feel scared.
You have the magic to a horror film is the dread. If you feel dread, or if it makes you think twice the next time you lock your door, or if it makes you think twice next time you go on the ocean, you
bro
know?
Oh, I mean, the Jaws fucked me up for that. From I'm still fucked up from that. I don't like it. Blair Witch Project has fucked me up for that too, just because I was like a year after it came out. I was still in college, I think, if I remember correctly, and we went on this like sort of camping trip retreat with a class from school, from college, and it was just like a couple days long, but it was at a place where they had some woods, and I had my video camera with me. They had this big light on it. It was like a full VHS video camera. Put the VHS in as a big light, and I thought I would be funny and do a Blair Witch thing and run up there by myself, go up there by myself with this camera and sort of talk and, you know, walk up this trail, this dark trail. I probably got like, I don't know, 150 feet up, and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Fuck this noise. I'm out here by myself.
I'm not doing it.
I'm in the forest. I got a light on. I'm talking like I'm a jackass. I'm turning right around. I fuck this noise. I fucking went right back. I was so scared. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It fucks you up, man.
It does.
You up.
It does. And the good ones like stick with you and you still think about them later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you know,
terrible.
I mean, like people didn't swim in the ocean after Jaws. I still find it chilling.
I hate it.
I can watch Get Out and not worry that I'm going to be taken by anybody who wants
to. Well, you didn't really fit the bill for that movie.
I didn't fit the bill.
You didn't fit the bill for that movie.
But we just saw recently, I will tell you, we just watched this weekend. We went and saw a movie called The Menu, which is fucking amazing.
What I think it's amazing, though.
I think you would actually think it's amazing. I think you and your wife would both find it hilarious.
You know, the poster just reminded me of Knives Out.
Yeah, it's better than Knives Out. We saw Knives Out.
I thought Knives Out was okay. I didn't think it was that great.
I think Knives Out intended to be better than it was. It was not that great, in my opinion.
Yeah,
this
I won't
is a
be
much
watching
better
the
film.
Okay.
Right.
What's the 2-sentence synopsis? 3-sentence synopsis?
Gosh.
4-sentence synopsis.
I mean, the trailer gives away quite a bit of it, but it's still enjoyable regardless.
Is it like a Most Dangerous Game thing where they were getting hunted, basically?
Very similar to that. Very similar, but not
like
exactly.
Those kind of things. Those are cool.
Yeah, but it's like it's like this incredibly expensive restaurant that's on this island, and these 12 diners arrive.
Where do we get the meat?
Yeah, right. I'm telling you though, it's brilliantly done.
It has Voldemort in it. He's good.
It has Voldemort in it. He's brilliant. I thought it was really good. We went, right. I mean, and it's right. got a lot of funny scenes in it. It makes fun of people who are overly serious about everything. You know how, like,
okay. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you've got that one friend that fucking ruins everything because he knows everything about everything. It's, yeah. it makes fun of those people.
Yeah. Well, one of these days when I get a chance to go watch a movie again, I will go see
it. Well, it'll probably be on streaming in like a month or two.
That's true.
You know, but I highly recommend it.
Okay, I'll watch it. Yeah, I love Voldemort. Yeah, I'll watch
it. But when you look it up on like Rotten Tomatoes, it lists one of the categories on it as horror film. And I was like, no, that's not okay. great. It's nothing horrific.
Dude, that's people just don't know how to fucking, I hate. Yeah. There are people that fucking rate these things. Same people that think like, you know, Steely Dan's heavy metal.
Right.
Give me a fucking yeah. break or not. Yeah. Why they won the fucking Grammy that year. It's irritating them. Talk Black album. Anyways. So
you mentioned that the story surprised you. And I agree. Same with me. I did not expect the ending. It was a very big twist. Is there anything you would change about the story? Yeah. And it's fine to say nothing because it's hard to find fault in it.
Yeah, it's hard to find fault. I mean, I love, again, another one of the tropes they did, which was on both sides, good guys and bad guys, they did the move where you think they're dead or you think they're hurt, and then they come at the last minute, save the day. You hear the gun go off, but it's actually the other guy shooting the bad guy, and he looks down. He's like, whatever. And then the bad guy comes back, and then the good guy, the fourth good guy comes back. Our cat comes, and then the wife comes. So that was I like that. So that if you didn't know they were doing that, and you were, you would be watching this movie and going like, these tropes, I've seen them so many goddamn times. But because that's the whole point of this movie, is that they're also it's great. I mean, it pretty much all works. Right. Again, it's I'm looking at it through the lens of my 90s self as well.
Sure. Like,
it all works. It worked really well.
Well, this is what I would say about that. I think that the tropes, the story, and the twists work in this movie once.
It didn't
need to be done fucking 8 times, which it's been done, and they've churned them out like crazy. And I remember like going and seeing the second one because I really enjoyed the first, and it was okay, but it reached, and like there was all these like subplots about Sidney Prescott's like mother being like a slutty woman in Hollywood like all this stuff that was just
it's weird because and
silly.
We watch a movie and in the back of our mind, we want to see the sequel. We're like,
okay. Yeah.
Or we want to just see another story with these guys. And then when we watch it, a lot of times you're like, they shouldn't have done. I guess they shouldn't have
done
a sequel or whatever. What I'm trying to think, I mean, there's been so many movies that Willow, right? That they've only done one of. So and I'm not sad they never did a Willow 2, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm happy they're doing something now.
Right.
20 years later, that's totally cool. But like then we didn't need a Willow 2. What story were they going to tell? So yeah, this one was, like you just said, they did the trope. They told us we had the joke.
Yeah.
The joke's over, right?
Like, right.
That's it. And I could have done without all the rest of the screaming.
Well, it's remarkable once over and over again, it becomes formulaic. And then you lose the joy of it. Because I think like the first time you have that thrill, it's like, okay. I mean, I remember we watched very recently, I convinced Emily to watch Get Out. She's not a horror movie fan, but I said, I think you're going to like it. It's not only a very well done movie. It's got like, you know, societal themes in it and all sorts of stuff. But she admitted towards the end of it that she had actually accidentally read a little bit about it. And like the twist of it was kind of lost on her.
Sucks.
And I felt so bad for her. I was like, man, that sucks. Cause ruins like this movie was so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
If you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't even, it's hard sometimes. I mean, like, it's funny. We've both worked with people you and I would be at our desks and we'd be talking about a movie we'd seen and they'd yell out across, I haven't seen it yet. Shut the fuck up.
Right. Yeah.
And like, I have like a little tolerance for that, but like some people were like 15 years later, I haven't seen it yet. I'm like, fuck you.
I know. Now that is crazy. You mentioned that because, you know, I watch YouTube and I will watch reactors and I will watch first time reactors, and there are plenty of fucking people I'm finding out that even sort of close to my age that haven't, that have not seen a lick of Star Wars, have not right. seen a lick of fucking Indiana Jones.
Right.
And it's super it's odd. They'll go, hey, what's that guy's name?
Right.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
How do you fucking not know? You're 35. You must have seen him somewhere. Like, right. But there are people like that, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
We were talking about people who insist on not having everything spoiled.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then, like,
I'm guilty of it. I take forever to watch movies. And so you've asked me questions and I'm like, I haven't seen it.
Well, that's fine. Like, but what you don't do, though, is insist that no one else be able to talk about it.
No. It's just, but if I will remove myself, if it's something, yeah. so there's a giant list of movies I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Some of which I know I'd probably just never see.
Sure.
And so if you started telling me the twist of Citizen Kane, I've never seen Citizen Kane.
Right.
If you told me the end of it, I just let you tell me. I'm probably never going to watch it. But, you know, if Get Out Part 2 comes out, I'm going to be like, hey, okay, it's been like, it hasn't even been 5 years. Like, you know,
right.
Hold on a second. Or I'll move to the next room.
I would say another thing, speaking of Get Out Part 2, like what I do like about that director, Jordan Peele, is he's done different things. Like he's not taken, like he was extremely successful with Get Out. He didn't make it Part 2. He made
Nope, which I haven't seen yet.
Nope was excellent.
I actually haven't seen the other one that he made either. Us?
Yeah.
Us I want to see it. I want to see it, but I haven't seen it either.
I would actually suspect that your wife will love Nope. There are characters in that that I think she will appreciate.
To get her to watch that. She won't watch Us. It's too creepy for her. She doesn't like horror like you.
Yeah.
I tried to tell her that this Nope movie was probably more
it's not like horrific.
An alien movie almost or something like that. So it's not horrific. I think I'm halfway there.
Okay. I think you'll be more successful getting her to watch Nope. I would agree with you and her that Us is more of a creepy horror film. Us was cool. I'm glad I saw it. I saw it in the theater with some friends, but I never had the urge to watch. I never had the urge to watch it again. And
the theater didn't leave.
It didn't leave.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's not that bad then. It's not that bad.
Yeah. It wasn't it.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't it. Right. Yeah. That's scary, man.
All right. Do you have anything else to say about this movie before we move on to the categories?
No, let's do the categories, brother.
Okay. So who's your Bill Paxton Award winner?
Lillard.
Lillard. Interesting.
Okay. I had this, I remember this movie and loving his character. I don't know why I liked him as an, he is a one trick pony as an actor. But
right.
For whatever reason, for this movie, and maybe for like one other thing he was ever in, because he wasn't in that many things, I just dug his attitude or whatever I thought.
Yeah.
And we talk about scene stealers. Every scene he's in, pretty much, he's the guy making some sort of joke or some off color thing or whatever. Obviously, he helps to be the tallest dude too. In a land of shorties, like even his buddy's super short in real life, Skeet Ulrich. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say Matthew Lillard was my I don't remember his name even. Stewart.
Now he also, listen, if you're listening to this, you had it.
Spoiled. Yeah,
he's one of the bad guys. He's one of the two killers.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, do you and I don't disagree with you. He was
second would be him.
Well, you can't have a second. You can have one. Okay, fine.
All right, who's yours?
Mine is Jamie Kennedy.
Okay,
mine is the Randy character because he to some degree was sort of a narrator of the story.
Yes.
You know, he basically helped interpret everything throughout the whole arc.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the one who laid out the rules. He's the one who was telling everybody to take this seriously, even though nobody was taking this seriously.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're almost swaying me right now, but
Yeah. I mean, he's just, well, first of all, he was a party guest and Scream. What?
Interesting. Whoa, really?
Well, I saw that there's a brand new Scream that came out last year that I watched. I watched it on the airplane. It was very mediocre.
But
again, they're trying to like milk that budget forever.
Cash in, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think, you know, I think your Bill Paxton's good.
I think yours is good too. I think yours is better probably than mine, I'll admit. All right.
Okay. So that's fine. You're usually winning out on these. So for once I ended up winning. All right. Let's go through
100 to 3 or whatever.
Yeah, 100 to 3. Exactly. Yeah. Here's the Mount Rushmore. So yeah, okay. Go through this list of actors.
It's going to be impossible.
It's going to be a tough one.
All right, go ahead.
Neve Campbell.
It was this.
Yeah.
She is in this and the sexy movie with
Wild Things. With
I don't know. Yeah. Which one should we pick?
It's probably
I'll say this. We have kids listening. Yeah, we have kids listening. I'll say this movie. What do you say? Yeah.
I'd say this movie too.
Yeah, he was a pervert.
Sydney Prescott is probably what she's most likely recognized on the street for. You know, she was in a TV show before that.
Wasn't she?
She was in Party of Five, I think.
Party of Five. Yeah,
That other one. There was like two. It was like not 90210, but the other one. I can't remember.
I think it was Party of Five, though. I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
How about Courtney Cox?
I mean, it's got to be Friends because I was a big Friends fan for like 5 years. So I would say Friends if we're talking TV as well.
David Arquette.
I don't even know what else he's been in. I know, other than this
and being in a relationship with Courtney Cox, I have no idea. Anything.
And his sister is Patricia, you know, Arquette's. She's in, I'm going to say this. Yeah.
Okay. This one, I want to see if you think of this other movie that this guy was in. Oh, well, actually, it's a different actor. Never mind. So forgive me. Skeet Ulrich.
I feel like I don't remember anything else he was in other than I think he was in that Jericho show. Anyways, I would say this because I don't know anything else he said.
Same.
I know I've seen him in other things. I just don't know what.
Drew Barrymore.
Nah. E.T., right? Baby. That movie's fucking awesome.
Was she in Poltergeist too? No, negative. But she wasn't.
ET. We might need to watch ET at some point.
We could do a Steven Spielberg. I haven't seen that one forever either. And it's very 80s.
Yeah, it is very 80s.
How about Matthew Lillard?
I mean, as much as I was on his nuts for a hot second, I remember being back then. I feel like he only did like Scooby-Doo after this that I can remember. I don't think he did like Dude, Where's My Car? I'm going to say this movie because I don't know. I don't have the IMDb up, but I'm going to say this. I'm sure he was. Oh, he was in, was it Slackers or Hackers?
Hackers. I was wondering if you were going to guess that one.
Which was not. Great.
I remember how excited they were about getting a laptop, and it was like 4 inches thick, and it had like a 286 processor in it. They're like, "This is the coolest thing ever," and all their computers were like transparent, and like the character's name were like Zero Cool, and like
Laser Blast, I don't know, whatever, Blast Titties. I'll say this movie. That one?
I think this one, but when I think about him, I think about Hackers and I think about this one.
Oh, okay.
Who else was in it? Oh, Angelina Jolie was in Hackers. I remember that.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if she's won an Oscar, but.
How about Jamie Kennedy?
He's in his own TV show, the X Experience show or whatever. I thought that show was funny. But I'm gonna say
he's basically been cast like he's just kind of like that guy from the 90s that everyone remembers. I mean, he probably does appearances at bars and just says like, "Hey, it's Jamie Kennedy."
Oh yeah,
I remember you from the 90s.
like in the British Office where
exactly
he comes back and does fuck off.
Wanker. He does the dating shows.
Hey baby. So fucking bad.
That show is amazing.
Such a great show. Fuck me. Yeah. All right.
What about Henry Winkler?
I have very strong feelings about him because I love him in Arrested Development. It came out like 2003, right? But he had a fucking awesome character in Arrested Development. So I'm gonna say Arrested Development.
More recently,
the Fonz, obviously.
Obviously the Fonz. He was in Happy Days. That's what he's known for. Yeah. But he more recently was in a TV show on HBO that's hilarious called Barry. And he plays an acting coach. I still
haven't seen Barry.
Oh, it's a good show.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah.
But I still haven't seen it.
The premise is Barry is like a hired assassin. And he goes to LA to kill somebody and accidentally walks into an acting class. And then becomes like addicted to acting classes. And Henry Winkler plays the acting instructor. And he's fucking funny. He's very funny.
Okay. That sounds really funny. I have HBO Max, which is.
Yeah, you should watch it. You have a lot to watch, but you've got a big homework assignment, and you've got a creature now to care for. So,
yeah.
It's harder.
Stupid job.
And a stupid job.
My job's awesome. I just wish I was independently wealthy and didn't have to go to work.
Didn't have to go to work. And I need to buy lottery tickets because neither of us bought lottery tickets, I'm sure.
Yeah, I bought one a couple weeks ago when that big, when it was the giant, you know, but
yeah, didn't win it.
Maybe next time.
Are you ready for trivia? Because I think this has got actually really hilarious trivia.
Yeah, let's do trivia.
Okay, so the party scene.
We need a jingle, by the way. We need a jingle for trivia.
We need a jingle. Well, you should find a jingle and put it in. I surprised me with a jingle.
I know. I think you should just sing one every time. Like,
no.
Trivia.
Yeah. Trivia.
Trivia. Yeah. All right. Trivia time. Go
okay. The party scene near the end of the film runs 42 minutes long. 42 minutes long. It was shot over the course of 21 days from the time of sunset to sunrise. After it wrapped, the crew had t-shirts that read "I survived scene 118." And it's the longest night in horror history is the name they gave that scene.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. I remember thinking like, this is going on forever. Like, how is this possible?
Well, I mean, that's what crazy. Another one of those tropes, right? Like the big party house where everybody shows up and there's all sorts of sex going on and beer drinking.
Yeah, sex comes on and the people can start getting whacked, killed off. That's my favorite part of these tropes.
So Jamie Kennedy was chosen for the role of Randy because he would often improvise humor into his lines and that made Wes Craven laugh. So he was added as the comic relief. Matthew Lillard was cast as Stu Mocker by chance after accompanying his then girlfriend to an unrelated audition taking place elsewhere in the same building. Casting director Lisa Beach saw Lillard in the hallway and asked him to audition for the part. He got the role. So he was basically cast because someone was going to take a leak and spotted him.
Oh, amazing, man, right? That's crazy. I wonder if he was an actor before that and then he was also, you know, sort of hanging out, or whether he was like just a dude off the street.
That's a good question. I suspect he wasn't acting before that because I do believe that Hackers came out before this.
Oh, did it? Okay.
But now that you've asked that question, I want to find out. Let's see Matthew Lillard's IMDb.
For some reason, he always just seems like a nice guy too.
I
feel like
he's a nice guy. I mean, he's done a good job of getting away from typecasting because he was in Descendants. Wow, that's a fairly recent film. So going all the way down steady career. So 96 was Scream. He had acting before that. Look at all this.
Okay,
he was he was on the Scooby-Doo show. Hackers 1995 too. Okay. I figured as much.
Tall guy, you know, hard to miss,
right? And he kind of came across as bro-y before bros were a thing. Yeah,
definitely. He probably had the Puka Show necklace going on.
Yeah. Courtney Cox approached the production to pursue this role. She really wanted to be in it. She was interested in playing a bitch because she wanted to offset her character as the nice person that she is on Friends. This was the main reason why the producers initially refused to consider Cox for the part. She was considered too nice. But I think she did a good job of playing a bitch.
I think she did too, although I will say that because I was a fan of Friends for a while, it did take me. It's sort of like when you, it's funny because this is her brother, when you watch Band of Brothers and who is the fucking sergeant that fucking is supposed to be this asshole tough guy that runs Easy Company through their paces? It's fucking Ross Geller.
Yes. Hey,
and you're like, seriously?
But it worked.
This guy, and it takes you a second.
Captain
to get
Sobel.
To get over the fact that he's not Ross, he's Captain Sobel.
Yeah.
And but once you get over that, which doesn't take long, he actually does a pretty good job of like hating his, even just hating his face a little bit. But this was sort of the same, right? It did take me a second. And even when she was being bitchy, I was still sort of like, just Monica being aggravated or whatever. Whatever. It's fine.
Was it Monica or Rachel?
She was Monica.
Okay. Right.
But she was great. I mean, I just thought that, you know, it was the same. It took me a second.
So at around minute 52, okay, let me have you burp. Do that again. Get out of your system.
It's out.
Starting again with this piece of trivia. Leave that in, please. at around 52 minutes, when Henry Winkler opens the his closet, his black leather Fonzie jacket from Happy Days is hanging in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you notice that? I did not know
I did not notice that. I mean, I wasn't paying attention. I was, because at that point,
I'm just tense he's going
to
get killed.
Yeah, you're supposed to be, and rightly, thinking he's going to get killed at that point.
Yeah, he does.
So you're not thinking about what's in his closet at that point. You're thinking about, am I going to shit myself when they jump scare me again?
Yes.
Okay. That's what you're thinking about.
This next bit of trivia made me laugh. So during production, Ghostface's signature black robe was going to be white to make him appear even more like a ghost. This was changed in fear of people comparing the costume to those of the Ku Klux Klan.
It would have looked like a KKK helmet too. Well, a couple other things about that. The blood sure would have showed up. But yeah. That would have been a problem for production too, because imagine having to match blood patterns from scene to scene if you had to like go to the next day or something ripped. That's number one. Number two is if it wouldn't have worked for a lot of those scenes, because some of those scenes he's hiding outside in the dark.
And yeah.
You can't do that if you're wearing a fucking KKK outfit. They weren't the greatest hiders in the dark, because you can fucking see them. They like flash a light their way. So
I just wish,
So this is a great, I mean, it's a good move by these guys about making it all white. That would have been hilarious, man. Oh my god.
I just
god.
Wish I could have been on set when they made that like realization, because I'm sure they had costumes that were done up in white.
They marched the guy out. Like, let's have, how does this guy look? Like, what the fuck? No, we can't have that guy. No. He marches out like with a torch. Like, oh no. Get the guy in a blackout.
do you listen to the podcast? There's a podcast called Two Bears, One Cave, and it's Bert Kreischer and his comedian friend. What's the other guy's name? Oh, it's killing me. I don't remember his name. But anyway, they're two comedians and they have a Monday morning podcast. And there was they have this thing where they give each other lavish gifts every year on their birthdays. Oh, wow. But they've gone in a different direction now. They're giving each other uncomfortable gifts. Oh. So Bert Kreischer, for his 50th birthday, was given literally a teacup that was owned by Adolf Hitler.
Oh, there's this whole thing God. Where
he's like, thank you for this gift, but I must destroy it.
Yeah,
like, he's just worried about being canceled for having Hitler's China.
That's fucked up. That's pretty goddamn funny though.
And the guy's like, I paid $20,000 for it, please don't destroy it.
Yeah, it's not is it illegal to own?
I don't know. It's China. I mean, I don't think it's illegal, but it's like probably it's very sell black it? Market. Yeah,
it's kind of weird. Yeah,
that's awesome. Anyway,
I know who Bert Kreischer is. I just don't know.
Yeah. I can't. The other guy's name is Tom Segura. So Tom Segura.
I know
the
both
one.
Those guys. Yeah. Okay.
Tom's
bald on top.
Yes.
Well, Bert is too, I think.
They're both on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a funny bit of trivia. The use of caller ID increased more than threefold after release of this film.
Dude, I remember wishing for caller ID after this. I didn't have it.
Yeah, because caller ID was not, I mean, now it's commonplace, right? Like, but it wasn't the time. You had to have that little device that was attached to your phone line that would, you know, and then you had the option to *69 somebody where you could call them back if they hung up on you.
Matter of fact, it's harder right now for caller ID because my phone doesn't pick up people that I don't have in my address book, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me they're a scammer. It doesn't tell me their name, you know.
Just so their number.
Caller ID was actually better because they had to register with that number in some sort of database, and then there's no way to obfuscate it. But yeah, nowadays it's like, it's reversed. I don't know who you are unless I have you in my phone book for the most part, which is kind of crazy, actually. Yeah, it's weird. That's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's reversed. Anyways.
Drew Barrymore and Neve Campbell did not meet Roger Jackson, the actor who played the voice, before shooting commenced. Whenever they are talking on the phone to the killer, they're actually talking to him, but they never met him. In fact, none of the cast met him. Craven thought it would be better to bring out the shock reactions he needed for everyone when he heard that voice. Now, that voice was extremely well cast. It's actually a regret of mine that I didn't cast that voice, because as far as the Bill Paxton, because that definitely ate up every scene.
But
when that voice came on the phone and said, like, you like scary movies, and like,
it is, but it's almost like when I watched it even again this last time, I thought it was Skeet Ulrich, And it sounded like his voice this time too. So you're telling me it wasn't him, it was actually a different guy?
Yeah, it was an actor.
Wow, because it did sound a little bit like him. Because if you remember, there's a part where she answers the phone and she's like, this is, you know, whatever his name was, Frank, this is, you know, Skeet, this is you. Yeah. I can tell it's you. And he's like, no, it's not me or whatever. So that was a different voice. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. I thought it was Skeet Ulrich's voice the whole time. Anyways.
This film was released in December, 5 days before Christmas. The studio did this because during the holiday season, family-friendly films are usually what's released. Yeah. And the studio wanted to give the horror audience something to see during a time when no horror movies would be out. Yeah. It opened at a number 4 with $6.4 million, which led the studio to believe that the film had flopped. However, the film's good word of mouth is what led it to succeed at the box office. With every week, it went up or stayed at the same place in the box office. At the end of its run, it ended up making over $100 million. So I remember this. That's how I heard about it, was word of mouth. Okay. I mean, there was like, I was at a video store and there were similar age people there and they came, you know, from a date or something and said they saw Scream and I was like, oh, okay, I'll check that out. You know, like that's how I heard of it.
Yeah, horror movies aren't generally one of the, you know, they're not the, it's not for the masses. So unless it turns out to be something like Alien, right? Unless it turned out to be something awesome, you know, you're not gonna, unless your buddy tells you to go watch it, you're not gonna probably go watch. I don't watch any horror movies in the theater. I just don't. I generally don't. It was probably one of the last ones other than Candyman. I went with some work photo friends, but I just don't. So unless you tell me, like someone probably did, that this movie was awesome.
Yeah,
and I think someone probably did tell me that. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go see it. I probably thought it was awesome. Or I did. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yep. I just didn't realize it went up like that because that never happens.
Yeah.
Never goes up. It always starts hot and goes, that's crazy.
And goes down. Yeah. So word of mouth spread and it got, I think, to be honest with you, I think that recent Get Out movie was probably very similar because I had never heard of it before. And then someone said, you got to see it. And I went and saw it. I was like, that was probably... I mean, I guess you could call that it was a thriller. It was probably one of the best thrillers I've seen in the last
10 years. I could tell people I would get if people labeled it horror as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would get that one.
It had some horror elements, but it really wasn't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The original title of this movie was Scary Movie, which was later used for a parody of this film and other pop culture horror films in the Scary Movie film franchise. The term Scary Movie is mentioned 5 times during the movie. Because remember, they were always talking about like scary
What's
movies.
What's your favorite scary movie? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Scream was a better title.
I think Scream was a better title as well.
It wouldn't have surprised. I mean, Scary Movie might have worked too. But have you
it did for the... I didn't see that.
You didn't see any of the comedies?
No, but a lot of people that have seen them really liked them. I'm not a big fan of the sort of the slappy stick, you know, like I used to be like Airplane and like Naked Gun, stuff like that. But look at me, I'm not a huge fan of it. But I totally get that people are. I'm not. So I never saw it now.
I can recommend the first one. The first one was funny. I highly recommend the first one. This film was sent to the MPAA over 9 times, and the MPAA is the association that does ratings for reconsideration. And they were going to slap an NC-17 rating on this. With each time, the MPAA made Wes Craven cut out more of the film's gore-heavy shots. Bob Weinstein eventually had to step in, which secured the film an R rating, and Wes Craven wanted to know what Bob did to get them to change their mind. And he said he told the MPAA that this movie is a comedy and not a horror film. And that changed the viewpoint for the MPAA.
What the fuck?
I mean, this movie has funny moments in it, but I wouldn't call it a comedy.
No. That's funny. I wonder if he said I'm like he had like a version for them that had like funny parts, you know, the not cut out yet, or he gave them like a script that only the funny part. I don't know. That's that's funny. Okay. Yeah. The MPAA is known for its
weirdness
and fucking like, and also its stupid rules. Like, if you have a guy kicked in the head twice in your movie, you get an R rating just for kicking him in the head. Like, what? Like, what the fucking show?
What's
boobies
with you people?
Kicking a guy in the head or I don't know. Anyways, I hate all that shit.
Okay. almost done. Two more pieces. When Bob Weinstein watched parts of this, of the first scenes of this film, the rough cuts, he said the mask was idiotic. He hated the ghost face mask.
Yeah.
He asked the producers to film one scene with seven different masks to let him choose one he liked most. Yeah. And the producers didn't agree and threatened to shut down production. They were really adamant about using this mask. So they told him that wait until the first sequence was done and then watch it and then decide. And after watching it, he happily agreed that the mask used was right. Yeah. You know, we've watched a lot of movies and we've talked a lot of trivia. There's usually a fucking producer that comes in and tries to fuck up a movie.
He tries to ruin everything. This is the story of Hollywood where they'll come and they ruin everything. Or they try to make it, you know, kid friendly or whatever.
Right.
But are you imagining the mask he wanted were like kind of gory, like gross masks, like, you know, like a witch face, like with like veins popping out or like fangs coming out or something, not just like an actual cartoon ghost face?
Yeah, probably something like that. Or yeah, something a little bit more menacing looking, not sort of spooky. I think the ghost
devil face mask, or something.
The ghost face mask is well done because it looks like kind of just spooky. It looks like the kind of mask you buy at a costume store.
Yeah, and it looks like unassuming if you just were to look at it. Oh, it's sort of like a cartoony ghost, but except for it's over the top of a guy's head who's got a giant knife killing you.
Yes,
which takes all the fun out of it and it makes it that much creepier. It's like
I've never been a fan of the Halloween movies, but I did recently watch a 30-minute sort of like making of special, and they were talking about the original Halloween movie and how they came up with Mike Myers' mask. Literally a prop master went into one of their prop stores and they found like a mask that was like supposed to be a politician, and all they did was take off the eyebrows of that mask. And that's
it. You said they were going to turn inside out or something.
They you know, it was a very pale face, you know, mask, but they just, all they did was take the eyebrows off, and that made it
fucked up and creepy.
Into the Mike Myers mask that holds up till this day, you know.
It's
pretty, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be quite simple, and be effective.
I mean, the same with like Leatherface. He's got like a fucking weird leather mask he made like himself because he's a fucking hillbilly who doesn't know how to sew, and it's just extra creepy that way. Yeah. I think they made a good choice of this. I don't know that it would have worked with anything more serious.
Mm-hmm. The last bit of trivia, and I don't know Halloween, but I referenced this, but one very obvious nod to the classic horror film Halloween is that Sydney's boyfriend's last name is Loomis, and this of course references Dr. Samuel Lewis, who is Michael Myers' psychiatrist in Halloween.
I gotta admit I haven't seen, saw Halloween one time years and years and years ago. I don't remember any of that.
People are fanatic for that film. I should probably watch it someday because I guess it's really well done, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, I watched it and I don't remember.
Was it amazing?
It was a slasher movie, so I put those all in some sort of one big lump of, you know, how interesting can the kills get is sort of what I go in with slasher movies. Like I just sort of like, how are they gonna do it? Like in Saw, how are they gonna do this kill? I don't have great expectations for them story-wise because they're generally terrible.
They are. All right, well, we did a pretty good job covering this one, I think. Yeah, and we're nice late work. But we did it.
We did it. Scream, baby.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you about what's next. And so okay, couple of options. We have some makeup ones that we have to go back to. We need to do Tropic Thunder at some point. We need to do Die Hard. Die Hard might be more timely because we didn't, that one last year got ruined by my friend. We did Die Hard, but my friend, her audio was so terrible. Remember, we couldn't hear her. And then the other thing we talked about last time was maybe doing a TV show. And you talked about Band of Brothers, and I talked doing Reacher. That's what I have to say. What of those options would you like to do?
Well, how long is this Reacher show?
Well, it's like a 8-part show. You're not gonna have time to do. No, but same thing with Band of Brothers. Same thing with
Band of Brothers. Yeah. So I think we should table that idea. I think maybe we should do Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Now, do we have anyone?
Well, we should invite your brother. We should invite Tony.
I think Tony probably first. I don't know how much my brother's a fan of. I bet you Tony's a giant fan of that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should invite Tony to Die Hard. Let's do some Die Hard with Tony.
Yeah. Die Hard with Tony before Christmas. Yeah, that's a good goal. Okay. Now, I have a favor to ask you. I'm going to get you these recordings tonight. Is it possible you can get me the show back by Wednesday? Today's Monday.
Today's Monday.
I got
D&D tomorrow, but I can do them on Wednesday.
Okay. If you can get them to me Wednesday night.
I will have to because I'm out of town on Thursday.
Yeah, as am I. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should be able to get you Wednesday night.
Okay, perfect. So we'll do Die Hard next, and you know, maybe somewhere in there we'll also do Tropic Thunder because I definitely want to do that one again.
Yeah,
that one we recorded with Lau.
You've
been watching reaction videos to that.
Yeah, people just go like, "What the fuck is this movie?" All right,
it's so good. I think that's the last great comedy.
I'd have to look at some of the comedies. I haven't seen very many comedies lately, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I've been more into the action drama stuff lately,
Well, then you should watch Reacher, asshole. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. All right, man. Thank you for doing this. I will see you in hell, asshole.
Yes, I will see you in hell as well, a-hole.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, a-holes.